Today is a Friday and we are chilling, we are hanging, we are cruising. Cruise control is on. Good afternoon, good evening, good evening to those that are listening in other countries. Eh? Good afternoon. Those that are listening to us in other countries, good morning. Those that are listening to us, yeah, in front or at back, hello. Hi, how you doing? My name is The Matriarch.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere urikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Akupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka. Akukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. Good evening to you. How are you guys doing? My name is The Matriarch. I am the creme de la creme, ultimate drip, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the whole cake. I'm the table where the cake is chilling, and I'm definitely the tiles where the table, the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top are chilling. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're about that love spreading. We're about that violence, but we're about that love spreading. And ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about passion. We're talking about staying passionate. Now, when we think of passion, we are like, what is that? You have to be passionate, eh? You have to be passionate about your lover. You have to be passionate about your work. You have to be passionate, eh? Passionate. But I think that with our parents or with our elders, those that guide us most now, our spirit guides, those that guide us into adulthood, they all say, don't follow your passion. They usually say, follow your passion to remain happy, in terms of, you follow your passion after work, you follow your passion after studies, you follow your passion after doing your chores, you follow your passion to make it more like a hobby instead of the main interest, the main, you know, the main meal, the main course, the main the main dude. Instead of you putting it at the forefront of your life, you have to incorporate it into what you have built already in order for you to sustain a healthy, happy life, right? So how do we stay passionate? And the reason I'm talking about passion is because many of us are stuck in a loop when it comes to doing things that we like to do and doing things that we have to do, because we are adults, so we have responsibilities, etc. We have responsibilities and we have tuned in. And good evening to you, passionate caller. You are so passionate.
Yeah, I'm so passionate. Yeah.
My dear, you passionately called first, passionately.
Yeah, I love enjoying this program.
My dear, you are very passionate about pulling heartstrings.
I'm going to put Mboka Man.
Oh, I'm on the Mulombo and I put guys, I love you too much. I love you too much. I have too much dignity to just creep away. No, I don't sneak. I don't sneak. That's not my forte. I don't sneak. I literally just walk out of the door, but I say goodbye also. Eh? You guys must never think like that.
Okay, what is your sneak, man? I cannot sneak.
I cannot sneak. I just, if I'm going to walk, I just walk through the door. It's finished, sharp.
I thought you just jump out of the radar.
Never, forever. I'm too passionate about what I do.
Well, I can see ya.
My dear. So how are you doing?
I've been doing great, man.
Mm-hmm. What is so great about it?
Yeah?
What is so great about it?
I always enjoy the Eagle FM programs.
You're very passionate about Eagle FM.
I'm sure, you guys have that aura.
We've got that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, that aura.
Je ne sais quoi. We've got that ting ting. Yeah, we got the ting.
That energy.
Yeah, we got the ting ting. Yeah. I was listening to radio recently and I was like, nah. We are the best.
You guys are doing a phenomenal job.
We are phenomenal. We are passionate. We are phenomenal. We are the dream team. Never. We dive, my dear. We dive into it. Straight up. So talk to me.
Can you tell me the detail of the... Of the topic today.
Today we're talking about passion. Today we're talking about what you're passionate about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we are taking it from the angle of being passionate, and then we are taking it from a different perspective of staying passionate, and we have to identify the things that we are passionate about indeed. So you are going to be my guest for tonight.
Okay.
So what are you passionate about?
My passion is, I always enjoy listening to the radio.
Okay, apart from listening to radio, sir, you don't eat radio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you have a life outside of radio. So, what are you passionate about?
I also enjoy giving my lessons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Giving your what?
I used to give the teaching most.
Okay, so you used to teach.
Yeah, I used to teach.
What do you teach?
I used to teach commerce subject.
Mm-hmm. So that is business management, basically.
Business management and accounting.
Mm-hmm. And accounting.
Yeah.
All right.
Numbers. Knowledge transfer, skill transfer.
Oh, okay. You like numbers. You like money. Yeah, because people that like numbers like money, to be honest.
Yeah, I like money. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Okay, so who do you give these lessons to?
Hmm?
Who do you give these lessons to?
It can be anyone.
Okay. Mm. So right now you have students?
Who is struggling with those subjects. We have some difficulty with those subjects.
Okay, so I was just trying to identify whether you like teaching or you like what you are teaching. So your passion is business and accounting. That's what you're passionate about. You're passionate about the business side of things. You're passionate about entrepreneurship. You're passionate about innovation. You're passionate about making things work. And you're also passionate about numbers because you believe in numbers.
So, because I'm very hands-on.
Yeah, you're hands-on. Yeah. Okay, so it's not the students that you're passionate about. You're passionate about the subject in itself.
Yeah, the subject.
Okay. All right, what else?
I'm also passionate watching soccer.
No. That's a hobby, sir.
Oh, okay.
It's a hobby, something that you do to relax. I'm talking about something that if it's not finished, you rather cancel something else than leave it. I don't think you would cancel going on a trip just to stay and watch soccer.
Yeah, I can do that.
To stay and watch soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's not true. I don't believe you.
I'm trying to tell you the truth.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that you're trying to tell me the truth. I think you're trying to parcel me. You just want to uppercut me here.
Okay.
I don't think that you would leave your day-to-day life just to go watch soccer.
Yeah, it can be.
I don't think so.
Because I'm,
so you would leave work to go and watch soccer? Not unless you're watching soccer for gambling.
Or for the betting.
Yeah. Not unless you're watching soccer for gambling. But I don't see you leaving work because soccer is so important so that you have to go and watch, you have to go and watch the game. I don't think so.
Yeah, especially in the weekend that you leave it.
You would leave your job that is paying you a salary to go and watch soccer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It can be. Those people, they won our hard time.
Okay. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
So you take it into the pinch of salt?
No. Actually, I just don't believe you. I believe that you are being untruthful. And when you are being untruthful about something, then it nullifies our whole entire conversation.
Okay. I know. Yeah. Okay. What else?
Let's go there. What else? Because soccer, no.
Oh, I also like, playing FIFA games.
Okay. But those are hobbies. I'm talking about passionate.
What? Are you talking about something that I make a living out of it?
No, I'm talking about something that you have a strong bond to.
I used to put more energy in it.
Yes. That. You, like, for example, one can say that, people that are charity oriented are very passionate about their cause. So you can find that, have you seen the cancer people?
Yeah.
The people that go after cancer, the people that, advocate for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Will you see them at the HIV side?
No.
Will you see them at the blind children side?
No.
Will you see them at the homeless people side?
No.
Because they have a strong they have a strong bond with cancer in itself or to be in the course of beating cancer. So they are very passionate about beating cancer. You understand? Mm. So that is what we're talking about when it comes to passion, you know? They're very passionate cancer survivors. They're very passionate about people that are fighting cancer. They're very passionate about that specific area.
Being passionate is something which is instinctual.
It's an intense desire. It's an intense desire, or you are an enthusiast for something. Like it's an emotional thing. Yeah, it's an emotional thing. It's not just a logical. It's not a logical thing. It's an emotional thing. You can't say that because if we said we are passionate about people, right? Then if we said that, oh no, I'm passionate about people.
I love people.
I want to be around people. I want people to do better, right? Then you would be doing something in your life to actually enhance that passion that you have. But, or you would be helping everybody.
But
you know?
being passionate is not something that you are doing it effortlessly.
You're doing it and you do put in effort, or sometimes it's effortless, but it's how you feel. It's an emotion. It's how you feel about it.
It's not something that come naturally, like me. That's something that is come with instinct.
I believe that, passion, right, comes from ordeals. It comes from encounters with something. Because if you look at the people that are very passionate about cancer, right? Somehow, they saw somebody suffering, or they suffered themselves, or they watched something that touched them deeply. You're not just born and you're like, oh my goodness, I want to save the cancer people. No. Well, I want to save the HIV people. Is this the same person? Is this the same as a doctor that's passionate about medicine, right? He's most probably a doctor that watched somebody die because there was no doctor.
Okay. How about enjoying reading newspapers?
But that's a hobby. How can you be passionate about something that is, regardless of your existence, regardless of it being good or bad, it's still there?
Okay.
It has to be something that is emotional. That is a hobby. It has to be like you are passionate about helping children whose mothers die at birth.
Oh yeah.
You know? Because maybe your mother died at birth, you know?
Or you show compassion.
Yeah, you show compassion. Or you show a deep, you are passionate about helping those people, particularly. That's why, when we're talking about passion and we're talking about people enthusiasts, right? We would say that, and I gave a good example. I gave the cancer people as an example because the cancer people are the most hands-on organization globally.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you will not see cancer awareness, whether it's breast cancer, cervical cancer, skin cancer, everything. They are so hands-on because they are so against cancer and they really want to eliminate cancer. They want to beat cancer. It's just the same as you find people that are advocates for HIV, you know?
I'm also passionate about helping people to get out of this suicide, man. Because I lost one of my friends last week, man.
Okay, what has made you see that you are passionate about it?
Trauma that I suffered.
Okay, but it's been 2 weeks. Because how do you know that you're passionate about it?
Yeah?
How do you know that you're passionate about it? It's been 2 weeks.
From now on, I start advocating it.
You start advocating for it, and what have you done in your life that shows that you're advocating for it, apart from talking? Because we can all talk. Because all of us can sit and talk and tell people that suicide is bad. Yes, but you are not passionate like that. You're just somebody that went through something.
Yeah, because I suffered from now on. I started advocating for it.
You start advocating for it, but I know it's too soon for me to bruise your ego. And it's too soon for me to hurt your feelings. My condolences to you. But it's too soon for you to think anything of it except grief. You don't have the necessary tools to advocate against suicide except the fact that you're hurt.
Yeah, I hurt, man.
What happened? What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
No, the person, we just heard the news that the person ended his life.
Okay. Was he your close friend?
Going through a lot.
Was he your close friend?
Yeah, we almost related.
Almost that related? Point. Was he your close friend, sir?
Yes, my close friend.
When last did you talk to them? When last did you talk to them?
It was last year.
Don't follow the hype.
It was meanwhile, I did not see him.
I understand, but don't follow the hype.
It's not a hype.
It's a hype. Don't follow the hype. Don't follow the hype. It's not the same. It's not the same as somebody that is your close friend. Because your close friend is somebody that you talk to regularly. You cannot tell me that we are almost in October and the last time you spoke to this person was last year and that's your close friend.
It was last year because it was, I was kind of decided not to get hold of him.
You couldn't get a hold of him because he was away.
We are in the same town, but we were not visiting each other.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe just made for that man. Otherwise, I could give a helping hand, man. That's why I'm still grieving. Because I did not talk.
What type of help would you have given?
No, I can just give even a word of encouragement if he was.
Who said he needed encouragement?
He could have.
Who said he needed encouragement?
Maybe he was just bothering us with the emotions.
What emotions?
Yeah?
What emotions?
Apparently, maybe they were issues concerning about the relationship.
What issues?
the breakup of the girlfriend.
And
it was hurt. His feeling was hurt.
His feelings were hurt because the girlfriend left him. Why did the girlfriend leave him, apparently?
I don't know.
Do you know the girlfriend?
No. Yeah, no.
Look.
It's not good.
No. Look at it like this. Before you start crying, because people... Let me counsel you, ta? Before you start crying, let us establish the fact that this was not your friend. This was just someone that you know, please. Just because you know them doesn't mean that they are your friends. You people like carrying other people's burdens. You people like carrying other people's burdens. This is not your problem to carry. Did you go to the funeral?
Go to funeral.
Oh, you have not seen them for over a year. You don't know who their girlfriend is. You are not going to the funeral. And what type of friend are you?
It's normal.
It's not normal, actually.
It's normal.
It isn't, because funerals are packed with our true friends. You are not a true friend. You're just you are riding on the hype of this person's death. No, don't do that. You know nothing about this person, and now you want to be friends with them because they are dead. It's just like, because they are dead, now you want to be their friend. You don't even know who the girlfriend is. You don't even know what he was going through, because he doesn't confide in you. He confides in other people, not you. And now you want to take it upon yourself to apparently be an advocate for suicide.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that, because that's the same fake. No, that is the same fakeness that everybody's tired about.
Yeah.
No, but it's fake. Like what you are displaying is fake.
Yeah.
It's true.
No.
Yes. You just want to be part of the hype. You have nothing else better to do you don't have anything else better to do in your own life. So now you want to take up another person's life and their life choices. And now you want to be the sad guy whose friend passed away. You have not seen the person in over a year. You have not spoken to them in over a year. You don't know who they are dating, where they are living, what they do for a living. You don't know nothing about them.
Well, I know.
You don't even know who the person that he's dating is.
But I don't.
Do you know that we only introduce our close people to the people that we are in relationships with? Or we only talk about them with close people. You are not a close person. This person was not your friend.
He's my family friend.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
He was my family friend. I used to call him a young brother.
Yes. Just because you call somebody something doesn't mean that they are anything to you. You didn't... Yeah, like, if it was your mom that passed away, would you go to the funeral or would you stay?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter, actually.
It
does matter. The problem is that you people all want to be part of the suicide hype. You guys are talking about suicide like it's cloud. Except for us people that have actually lost people, you and who suffered a loss?
Me and my whole family.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to our topic now. About the passionate.
Mm-hmm.
So, those soccer players, are they not passionate about playing football?
They are passionate about playing football.
Because they are also making their living out of it.
Making a living out of it.
It's not about natural ability.
No, it's not about making a living out of it. It is about really honestly just doing what you like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, it's not a matter of forcing things.
Yeah, it's not a matter about forcing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Those are the, okay, if we compare, okay, different occupation most. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be occupation. It's not an occupational thing.
Mm.
No.
If we compare the professional, like a doctor and the banker.
Anybody can be a doctor and anybody can be a bank teller.
Yeah.
But those that do it out of passion do it immaculately.
Okay. Whose passion is the one that bring or give them a job certification or what?
Passion is the one that keeps them going.
That
makes them go out of their way to assist, because what they like is to assist other people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were talking about, for instance, your new quest on advocacy for suicide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Advocacy for suicide is you going to the hospital and you volunteering to help people that are not okay.
You are doing community.
Not community, but hold on.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello. Mm-hmm.
Hello, hello. Yeah.
Being passionate about something is you doing and going the extra mile for that thing that you are passionate about. That's what passion is.
Up and above.
Going an extra mile, doing mm-hmm. things that you don't have to do, but you do them because you want to do them.
Well, you always broaden your horizon.
No.
Yeah, it's not about.
It's not a job. It's not that. Like you must listen to what I'm saying. It's not that.
Okay, I'm getting you. I also want to be a good listener.
I don't think you're a good listener.
I'm listening.
I'm saying it is about doing something because you like it, you love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the doctor that is not going on lunch because today is so full and so many people are so sick and so, they work. Listen.
Listen. Yeah.
So they work, right? Throughout mm-hmm. lunch, even if they are tired. And it's not an everyday thing, but it's just who they are. Mm-hmm. Being passionate about something is the nurse that is extremely tired, but she still smiles with you when you ask her question. The being passionate is somebody that is going through a lot. For example, at a law firm, and you come in and the people are about to close and still, right? They will still call you in and say, how can we help you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't come here most probably for nothing. You came here for something important. Being passionate about what you do is a police officer taking it upon themselves, right? To make sure that you get home safe, because they don't want you to get robbed and get killed. So they pick you up there and then they still drop you home.
Okay, how about
Wait. So what did I say? Zero.
I get you.
No. I didn't ask if you get me or not. I asked you what did I say.
Oh, you said
what did I say passion is?
it's when you are doing the job that you enjoy, that you are enjoying.
That's not what I said. But continue.
When you are passionate about something, is when you are doing it with wholeheartedly.
Such as. Such as.
Such as giving it 100%.
But you could also be giving it 100% if it pays you a lot of money. So, what is it?
But with that one, you can go. You give it 100% plus. You also doing it effectively and efficiently.
Why don't you listen?
I was listening. I was trying to listen.
Why are you trying to listen? Why don't you just listen?
Maybe I was just jumping the gun.
But why do you do that?
I thought I know.
But you don't know. That's why you are here.
But in actual fact, I need to listen a bit, to pause a bit.
You don't need to pause a bit. You need to learn how to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I also want to know. I want to, sorry for...
So what is passion? So what is passion?
Being, love, enjoying it.
What? What? What did you say there?
It's when you are enjoying doing it.
It could have just been fun.
Yeah, just being fun, yeah.
Hey, it could have just been fun that one day and I'm enjoying it. Does that mean I'm passionate?
No.
Hey,
no.
Come on.
It's when you are doing the job that you are enjoying.
It's not a job.
It's when you are indulging into...
Using better words or using bigger words doesn't mean that your answer is going to be correct. Use the same stance.
Okay, it's when you like doing what you are enjoying.
What do you mean it's like you like doing what you are enjoying?
Yeah, you enjoy.
Is it not what you are doing? Is it not enjoying what you do? Regardless of rewards, regardless of anything. No.
What
Go back. Go back. Listen. You're not going to talk inside my mouth, ne? You're going to listen. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I'm asking you. Let us conclude passion.
Okay.
Before you jump to other things. Okay. Sometimes, ne? Sometimes you give me thoughts about your mind. Yes. You give me thoughts about your mind.
Okay.
And that's not good. It's not good because then if I have thoughts like this of your mind, the people around you have thoughts like this of your mind. But it's just because there's just one thing that you are lacking.
Which is?
Listening.
Yeah,
like literally, it's not about listening. It's a skill. You have all these little silly sayings that don't serve a purpose. They don't help you. They don't assist you in anything. It's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. You are like those people that talk a whole lot of nothing.
Okay, I'm listening.
So it is better, right? For you to learn. Like, we cannot be together for 4 years and I'm still complaining the same thing I was complaining in the first year. 4 years. So it is a matter of, it's not a matter of what sounds beautiful rolling off the tongue. No. It is about really comprehending so that we can use these skills and this information that we are putting out here into our day-to-day lives so that we can have a meaningful and ethical and dignified and also a bit more calm and happy life.
Okay.
So if we understand passion, for example, right? We would understand people that do the things that they are doing. And that is why I say that it is not appropriate for you to assume that this person's experience is something that touches you when it actually doesn't touch you. And you used it in a wrong statement, which shows that you know nothing about compassion or passion, because you chose to take a somewhat narcissistic route to make everything about you instead of what is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
So now when we look at life, my friend, when we look at life and we look at our experiences, we need to understand that sometimes we want to escape our little silly lives, right? Boring lives, to have something that's a little bit more exciting. But we cannot use somebody's death as excitement for our boring lives. We must learn, right, to understand our places in people's lives and our own lives. We must learn, right? Because it's the same as walking around saying that everybody is your friend. But in actual fact, they are not your friends. They are your associates. They are people you know. Just because you know somebody doesn't mean that they are your friend.
Yeah, that's part.
It's just the same as if your neighbor dies today, you most probably will cry for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, why? Because of the gap that he left in your life. You must finish your sentence. You must finish your sentence wholeheartedly and fully, so that you can be in true understanding of your emotions. You understand? You would mourn your neighbor, especially if your neighbor was somebody that was actually present. It wasn't just a neighbor in terms of that's the house of the neighbor, but it was somebody that you could communicate to, and you could also pass the barrier of neighbor and leap into friendship. You understand? That person, you might cry for 2 weeks. You might cry for a long time. You might actually have a grieving and mourning process when it comes to your neighbor. But yeah. I can tell you right now that your so-called friend that you are saying is your friend that committed suicide, right? 2 weeks ago. I can tell you that you're over it. It's just bad news. It's just a bummer. It's just sad that he did that. But it's not something that affects you.
It left me with a scar in my wound.
It left you a scar in your wound. Do you know that scar and wound is the same word? Or are you just using words to make you seem flamboyant, but actually you are not using them properly? Scar and wound is the, like, what do you mean? A scar in your wound, or what are you saying? Because it sounds romantic, it sounds flamboyant when you say it, but in actual fact, you are saying a whole lot of nothing. It traumatized you. In what way did it traumatize you? It didn't touch you. It is just bad news. It's just the same as you hearing about Rashi Hama. It's just the same about you hearing or reading the paper about a 19-year-old boy that did it. It's just the same. It's just the same. It's just the same. But Namibians like to jump onto hypes that are not theirs, because Mbera Ungaramwenyo and Nine, they are very boring. They are so boring that you would take up death. Like, you don't even know the guy's girlfriend. You don't even know his middle name, to be honest. You don't even know when his birthday is. You know nothing about this person. But apparently you are so devastated. How? If you are devastated, then the person that was actually there is what? Then the person that he was talking to it took 2 hours is what? We like jumping on hypes. It is. You are jumping on a hype. You know nothing about this person and you're jumping on a hype. Apparently you're so traumatized. Your sky is wounded.
Yeah, my sky is wounded. Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean? Your sky is wounded. What does that mean?
Oh, hi.
And that is exactly how your gender masks real problems. Now you are hiding behind this, right?
I'm not hiding behind.
Listen to what I'm saying. You are hiding behind this in terms of like you feel bad, but the true emotion there of let me just give you like a little briefing. The true emotion that you are feeling there, right?
Mm.
It's not that you are sad about him.
Your true
emotion towards the matter is kurume no kuju. That's what you feel.
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, okay. Because you are saying if he could have at least talked to you. Talk to you at the kwanga pe. It's because you are finding relatability in his situation, and that is what men are not looking at. You guys just look at situations like they are sad, but you guys are finding relatability because you guys have the same thoughts. You guys are all tired. You are having the same thoughts, and that's why you feel bad that he went through with it, because you are still living. You are still going on. You are still fighting like, oh, mwameme man, tomorrow would have been a better day. And that's the truth. It's not because, oh my goodness, he's such a close friend to me. No. The truth is that, okurume no kuju. And you feel sorry for another man. Because if another man goes through that, ne, then on tengingwa humbata was extremely heavy. Because you guys have all thought about it. And you are in a space where you are saying, kucha, inimake inashe iningi, let's see how tomorrow goes. And you were hoping that he would also be in that phase. He would also be like that, kuchini make inashe iningi tutarongura. So that's why you are sad. But you're not sad because, oh my goodness, he bestie. Oh, who am I going to drink tea with? Oh my goodness. There's no void. There's no empty space in your life because he left. There's nothing like that. Yeah, he used to do what for you exactly? Just exist. No, what did he used to do for you? Yeah, because you don't have an answer. No, because you don't have an answer. You haven't spoken to this man in over a year, sir.
Yeah.
You know nothing about his life.
Even your own family members.
Your whole family members are touched because them they used to see the guy every day. Just because your mother is in pain doesn't mean you are in pain also. Your mother is feeling it, Shashino. Oma tingo no oye ari envikiro shigunda. Oye ari ere akuntara. Oye ari enan oshisho nae. That is what your mom is feeling.
So it's not paining me.
It's not paining you.
It's paining me.
It's not paining you. It isn't. Like, nando ukareto shioro. You guys can laugh all you guys want. But the truth is that you guys are jumping on hypes that are not yours. Maybe what you guys need to ask yourself when another man goes down in this manner is ask yourself, what are we going through, right? That you don't understand.
But that's what I was not he was not innocent. He was not an ordinary to me.
Yeah, he was what? He was an abnormal.
Abnormal.
Yeah, he was an abnormal. Because he was not normal, he was an abnormal.
It's not like that.
Eh, hey, it's most opposites.
Okay.
Okay,
back to our topic now.
Hmm.
Passionate.
Yeah. Passion is the matriarch coming here every single day to do what she's doing.
So the musician like you, you're also passionate about composing the music.
But the thing is that's a ridiculous question to ask.
No, listen.
That is a ridiculous question to ask because when last did I do music? Because I gave you a perfect example. Passion is me coming here to teach you so that you can be better, so that you can know that you are loved. Even if you are irritating, you are still loved. Yeah, you are loved. Yeah, you are loved, but you are irritating, but you are loved. Regardless. You are irritating to me in this moment. Yeah, in this particular moment, you are irritating to me, but you are loved.
Yeah, we need to agree and disagree.
Yes, but you are still loved nonetheless. You are still a person that holds a peace in my heart. You are still a person that I will still mourn. Even if you die, ne, you must tell the people, Kucha, they must call radio and notify me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in the essence of democracy, we encourage robust debate. Oof. Yeah?
What did you say?
We agree and disagree.
It's not about agreeing and disagreeing because the conversation was about passion. You keep jumping from one conversation to another. The conversation was about passion. Finish it first. Then you can jump into democracy.
Okay.
The conversation is about passion.
I also want to know about the passion, passion exploitation.
Exploitation or exploration?
Exploitation.
Exploitation. Exploiting somebody's passion. Exploiting somebody's passion is me coming to sit here for 10 hours, only getting paid for 3 hours because I am passionate, because I'm passionate about it. I will not feel it. Yeah, I will not see those 10 hours. Yeah, I will not see those 10 hours because I'm so passionate about it. That's exploitation.
That's passion exploitation.
Yes, because she's so passionate, right. She will not even see that she's not getting paid for 10 hours.
Oh, she will not resign, she will just come.
No, it's not about resigning. It's just she will not even see that she's only getting paid for 3 hours, but she's here for 10 hours because she likes it.
Even if she's underpaid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For her passionate thing that she, for her work that she's passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Passion exploitation is nurses that are working day in and day out, shift in and shift out, and they are working their bum bums off, and they are getting paid for peanuts, but they still go.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they need the money or they need the job, but just thinking about the patients at the hospital, ne, gives them anxiety if they are not there. That's passionate.
That one is a matter of sacrifice.
It's not about sacrifice. It's also about it's about understanding that you care for something more.
Mm-hmm.
You care about it. Okay. It's like you deciding ne, that you are running a soup kitchen out of passion and this year you are running a soup kitchen, and you know that people depend on that one meal that you are going to give them every day. And then you decide that, no, today I'm not going. I'm going to the club.
Yeah.
And you make no arrangements about it, right? The disappointment that would, it's not even disappointment. It's what you are supposed to feel if you are actually passionate about it, ne? Is you would never actually do that because you know how many people depend on you.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. And you know how many people will starve because you didn't give them that meal that day. And you know how many people would cry. You know everybody's story. Do you know that? Yeah. Do you know why most doctors, ne? And I'm saying this from the perspective of you understanding why, not just medicine, but why there are so many senior doctors in general. You can retire. You can retire at 60. But most doctors retire where they retire when they can't anymore. Like literally when they can't serve anymore. It is because they are passionate about medicine.
She's
passionate about eyes.
Eyes, yeah.
Yeah. So what a person without passion would do is, they work there, yes, 60, they retire, they go and sit at home, that's it. But a person that's passionate, right, would continue working because they get anxiety about leaving their patients in the hands of other people.
Yeah, she feels like this is
like
a piece of the puzzle. Not
no, like you like stupid metaphors.
Huh?
No, what do you mean? She feels like a piece of the puzzle didn't. Like what pieces of puzzles are we putting up here? Like you must stop talking like that. You must talk straight. She feels like it's a piece of the puzzle. This is not art class.
Okay, I hear you.
Yeah, this is not art class where we are expressing our emotions in metaphors and punchlines. This is real life where somebody is listening to you so that they can understand something from you. Now you're telling people, it's like pieces of the puzzle with the word, ha. No, we're not doing that, Romeo.
Okay.
Yes. So what do you mean, it's pieces of the puzzle of Miss Ndume?
I hear you, Miss Kunakoleka.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is like Dr. Ndume cannot leave the practice. She cannot leave being an eye doctor because she's worried about her patients, because she's passionate about giving them sight. Passion.
Yeah.
And if the world was ending and there was no more money that anybody could give, because Namibia doesn't have money anymore, there are a few people that will still continue going to work even if they are getting paid nothing. Yes. No, it's because you guys make we assume everything is about money, right? But with passion, it's not about money. With passion is about how I feel.
Towards,
you know, if Eagle FM decides tomorrow, which, oh guys, eh? Oh, we are bankrupt, eh? There's no more money, everybody. You guys can either go home, we close the radio station, or you guys can hold on for a while, ne? Just for us to boost it, ne?
Yeah.
I can tell you that we will have a full set of staff here. Still.
Yeah.
Even if we are not getting paid. Chapeau. Mm-hmm. The thing that is going to beat us is maybe transport to come to work, but we will still come. Why? Because we are passionate.
You guys are very passionate about this.
There we go. Just like you are passionate about business and you're passionate about the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You like English very much. I hope you speak like that in your own, in your mother tongue also. I hope you know words in your mother tongue also. Because the way you throw this English out here.
English gives me joy.
Oh, English gives you joy. You're passionate about English. You must be passionate about your mother tongue. What if they take their English back? What if the colonizers come and get their English back? You can't even imagine a world where we don't speak English, you. They gave us English, they can take it back.
To colonize us.
Yeah, they take back their English. You cannot even express yourself, phenomenally in Oshikwanyama, Shuayama, but here in English you want to be throwing people with, that was catastrophic. That was so flamboyant. It was super califragilisticexpialidocious. Eh? But you don't want to say onto kwa ligamena.
Ligamena?
Eh, aligamena.
Ligamena.
Eh, you're like, what's that? Eh. Okwali ikwatamo kivinde. You're like, what's that? Eh? You only know that one in English. Oh, love handles. You see? Tankanithera ka tankanitha o culture.
Amani kora tango ko ba mesa ito.
O shige?
Hmm?
Ndani gani ni?
On the radio.
On the radio. Did you check today? Or you are just asking because you guys just like asking questions. You didn't even check today if it's working or not. You are always just asking. Muho ekutulirwa mo mwafantumbe amuta amuti. Eh? Tambo shifo. Eh? Oh, moshi for your name, what are you
hanging
on? Oh, no, man. Change.
Yum.
Yeah, do better, man.
Yeah, do better, yeah.
Yeah, because life is better.
Yeah, life is better.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend, I bid you farewell.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. This was a great sport. You are great, ne? You are a great person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You are a great person. You are loved. You are appreciated. You are important. Okay. You matter.
Thank you.
You matter. Mm-hmm. Even if they're telling, if, you know, if somebody comes to you and tells you that you don't matter, huh? Must tell them, kuja, me I matter to matriarch, matriarch. Call her. Call her and ask her.
Yeah, you always create that sense of belonging.
But you do belong. I'm not creating it. You just belong. Oh, you really do belong. It's not me creating a false illusion of belonging. You do belong.
Yeah.
There's a space for you. You occupy space. You are important. Your absence would be felt, noticed, and seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you sharp, matter.
Sharp, sharp.
Wazala. Good evening to you, beloved. How are you guys doing? My name is The Matriarch. I am your host. I am your mother. I am your auntie. I am your grandmother. I am your grandfather's girlfriend's favorite. I heard that one, your girlfriend's favorite. I'm your grandfather's girlfriend's favorite. It is what it is. So, beloveds, we're quickly going to go pee-pee-dee, and we are going to continue with our conversation. Tonight, we're talking about passion. Huh? We're talking about being passionate about something and how to go about it and yada, 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 and boo-boo-boo, and let's go.
Yeah, ne. You know when you know what you want, but you're not sure either. What do you mean? I know I want to study next year, ne? But I'm so conflicted when I think about the field I want to get into. Sometimes I lean more into business, you know, the money. But other times I really want to get into IT because it's like a passion thing.
Yo, there's a lot you need to think about. But at least NASC gives you the option to choose two programs that you'd like to study. And you can just make your final decision come registration.
Really? Do tell.
The NUST applications are officially open for 2026. So don't walk, my brother. You must run to NUST and apply today.
Check out the 2026 prospectus at www.nust.na. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngele wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude itayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge pata fanoa na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipurane ngenyo wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa mune uto otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe ibali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
I'm Wonder Woman with a little touch of Rambo. Ndonga. Wambo. Good evening to you, my beloveds. The number in studio is 083-2888-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call in and participate in our conversation. So tonight we're talking about passion. We're talking about passion about the things that you are passionate about. Now, what is passion? Passion is more so having this real deep bond and barely controllable emotion towards something. You are passionate. You are talking passionately. Like you are talking with your whole heart. You are talking with your whole existence. Like, yes, I'm like, you advocate for something. You go for something. Your whole heart is there. Verstandjele. So we would say that the activists, they are passionate about what they're activating. What they're advocating for. Yeah. We'd say the activists are passionate about what they're advocating for. So you find a number of activists, especially here in the land of the brave, you find a number of activists that are very passionate about what they are going for, like world hunger, world peace, world anything, right? Because And I was trying to get one of our young scholars on the line. So please bear with me as I try to get her on the line.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipurane ngenyo wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Alrighty, it seems as though we can't get one of our scholars, or none of our scholars actually, on the line this evening. But you know, we're going to thug it out and we're going to wing it out. And we're going to go all out anyways. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. So we're talking about passion. And you guys might be wondering, right, why certain people go into the streets to protest. Go into the streets to talk about, to advocate for, to be in the limelight of something. And there are a number of activists, within the country. Good evening.
To be in the limelight.
Hi, is that what I sound like?
And there are a number of activists, in the country.
Hello, hello.
To be in the limelight.
Good evening. Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to your topic. Inside my dad is cold, so I...
Yes.
So you discuss it more.
Yes, please. I'm all ears, I'm all in.
Okay, so now, my question is patience. Mm-hmm. Okay, the difference between patience and hobbies.
Yes. Like hobbies are things you do. Passion is something you feel.
So passion is something that I feel.
Yeah, it's an emotion.
It's an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So hobby is something that I just doing.
You do it. You can do it because of your emotion.
So
you are passionate about swimming.
Uh-huh.
And you swim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're passionate about it and then you do it. So it is a hobby that you're passionate about. So you could be passionate about computers, right? You're passionate about how it's like you are emotionally invested in computers, right? I don't know how that works, but there are people that are computer enthusiasts, right? And then you go into IT because of what you felt there. So your profession is passion oriented.
Oh,
it's based off of passion. So you can say that I'm going to go into IT now because I just want to learn how to code. And I like when I code, I hack Standard Bank.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just passionate about hacking, you know? You're passionate.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should our hobbies be first, be our passion, be patient, be our passion-oriented, or is it really a good thing?
To be passion-oriented. Okay, when you're passionate about something, right?
Uh-huh.
Regardless uh-huh. of the outcome, you are still happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
So even if you are passionate about making or how to do that,
uh-huh.
right? You are passionate about using your hands to create artwork. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if nobody buys it that day, you don't go and cry.
You still make the next one.
Yes. You will still continue because regardless of monetary fulfillment, right? You are still fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
It's like music. Right?
Okay, no. No, how I understand this, man.
Yeah.
Now when you are patient or when you are patient oriented, I have this feeling that you will become, or you are likely to become an addict of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You are doing something mm-hmm. that you literally enjoy.
Yes.
So I feel like it's more dangerous.
Hmm.
I feel Finland is more dangerous because at the end of the day, you will have no free time. Mm. You have no free time to do anything that will benefit yourself apart from your patient. You just be focusing in that. Let me give an example of myself.
Yeah.
My patient is more like to try to understand a person's problem, try to solve it.
Okay, so your passion is problem solving.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes me, how do I say this? You know, and
it drives you crazy.
I'm as a person, I just want to find out what is this problem. What's the person's problem? You know, what is he going through?
Mm.
And when I know what is he or she going through, I would want to know how can I solve it?
Mm.
How can the problem be solved?
Mm. I wouldn't say necessarily that your passion is problem solving, because there are other problems in the world. Why are you not trying to solve wars? Yes. Why are you not trying to solve taxi crisis? Why are you not trying to solve the sky? So I would say, right? If we are talking about you, I would say that your passion is understanding other people's emotions and making them feel better. So you are a humanitarian.
Humanitarian? Okay, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you are a humanitarian. Your purpose...
I'm totally agreeing with you
there. Mm. So your purpose in life, right, is to serve others.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't bother you if you have to stop for even 2 hours so that the old lady can cross the road. It doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. It doesn't bother you if you have to move at the back of the line so that a kind person can get assisted before you.
Yes. True,
because you are for the human being. You are for people. So your passion is people and making them feel better. So it is not a hobby, this one. This is a character trait. This is your personality. This is who you are. It's not necessarily solving problems. It is understanding. And you are not only drawn to people that are going through bad things. You are also drawn to people that are happy. So you are also an empath. You feel emotion. So people that are happy, you can go into a place and be happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are sad, you can go into a place and be sad with them. But the only difference with sadness is that you will try and take the sadness away because you understand that sadness is not a good emotion.
True. 100% true. Mm. Okay, now in this, I noticed some disadvantage also.
Yes. A lot.
Why trying to solve people or to help others?
Mm.
I end up abandoning myself.
Yes.
Not helping myself. Not doing something for myself.
Yes.
Somebody asked, when you do that,
and
what
you?
Was your game?
Yeah. And you? While you're doing this for others, and you? Yeah.
What did you gain? You just end up losing that, this, being great, what, but you gain nothing. This person did not even remember or come back to show that what you did was good.
Okay, let me tell you what you gain. Because this is something that we walk around with in the world. And the problem is that people next to you assume that you must be doing something for gain. But we are all different. They say, you see a witch doctor, ne? Onganga. Ne? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Onganga, when you go to their places, Onganga is happy. Because them, they have everything they want. But because you want something that is different from what they want, you assume that they are fake ongangas because they don't have the things that you want.
But,
Because you want a car, you want a house, you want 10 houses, you want 100 herd of cattle, you want all these things, but nkwenine okuri aramoka ndudake ne kumbori naridhikwa na wano shike no shike ndishi, and you look at them and then you assume that aye man, but how can this be your life? It's because, right, what makes you happy is not what makes me happy. The gain that you get from assisting others and making other people feel better and putting them in a better position is that feeling on your heart. You live for that feeling. That feeling of gratitude, it doesn't even have to be gratitude that them, they are saying thank you to you. It's just knowing in your heart, kucha, you are a good citizen of the world. That is what you gain. And people will not understand that because they want is money. They want, acknowledgement. They want a medal. They want things that you don't even think about. You don't want anybody to call you, kucha, oh, we are giving away Nobel Peace Prizes for people that have helped, old ladies. Then we put you on a pedestal, then we give you a medal for it. It would be nice, but it won't even be something that you will remember for the rest of your life. But you would remember the day that you found a child almost drowning. De toka kusam. Yeah. So even when that child is 13, and that child you walk past them one day, then you say, are you not Nilifa? Eh? Didn't you live in a village where? Yeah. No, I rescued you when you were 2 years old. For you, that is gratitude. That is the biggest reward that you can get, kucha. I did something good for another human. That's why you are a humanitarian. You are the type of person that would also have one slice of bread. You haven't eaten in 2 days and your neighbor faints outside because they are hungry. You give them that bread.
Yeah, true.
And for you, what gives you joy, your gain, is that they are alive for another day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And that's why people don't understand, because people or enomitima thao that are very different.
What you're trying to say is other people are not humanitarian. That's why
yes.
And to the degree of doing things that are trying to do to
yes. If you had a lot of money, if you had a lot of money, you would have a school for the kids where they are eating. If you had a lot of money, you would have a school, you would have a hospital, you would have a clinic also in the bushes, you would also have transport that is transporting old people to the hospital, nokopenzera, you would have all these things that you don't even charge for. If you had a lot, you would have had that, because your happiness is just for people to be okay. That is why it hurts you when somebody is suffering. That's why you try by all means, to fix the problem so that they don't suffer anymore. Move closer to, just move a little bit. I can't hear you nicely. No, now I can't hear you, but first I could hear you. Maybe a wing yenga kashon. Perfect.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear
me? Yes.
Oh, okay. Now I understand what patient is. I mean, these are just some of the English words that we don't know what it means.
Yes.
Sometimes we use them, but we don't know what it means. But today when you brought up the topic of patience, I was like, patience now.
What is the difference between patient and a hobby? A hobby is something that you like doing.
Mm-hmm.
A passion is an emotion, like a feeling.
Attached to your heart.
It's attached, yes.
When you are walking away, pass by that, be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wish there was something else.
I could add on.
Yeah.
And that is why you are also the type of person, shawa ningwanai.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody comes to you and then they say, kucha, I'm so sorry that other person hurt you like this. I know that you have no bad intentions. That's when you start crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's true.
Yeah.
You understand. So you are like, because
unfortunately, I don't cry.
But inside your heart, you feel bad. Your heart cries.
Yeah. Inside my heart, my heart feels that, tears to run out of my ears. It's like I was not born with tears.
No, it's okay. It's okay, so but you have a lot of love. You have a lot of love, so you cry in different ways. Maybe every time you see somebody struggling, right? That is your way of crying. Because if you take it upon yourself to try and solve other people's problems, then that is you crying for them. And you don't want them to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm making sense in that.
Your purpose in life is to serve others. That's what your purpose is.
To add to what you have said.
Yes.
What I would think of is, I think Namibia would be a better country if we were doing what our patience is all about. Because we found ourselves, we go to school, we pick the best course that the school you have to offer, the best school that the country has to offer. And we end up doing things that are even far from who we are. At the end of the day, we do this thing for a living. We work for a living, and our hearts are not connected to our work. So when a person comes into our office, we don't treat them fairly, because this is our bread. It's not our patience, it's just our bread.
So yes.
We don't really care whether the person is offended or whatsoever. We just focus in putting bread on the table, as we say in English. So.
And if we could incorporate passion with the bread on the table, right? Then we could find a happier way to exist. And then also, blessings would also flow on our side, because then we are doing something because of something. Like, for example, right? There is acts of service. There is service. Many of us are meant to be service providers.
Yes.
We are supposed to create good service, customer service, good service, do good things, you understand? But now, if you are not passionate about people's happiness, right? Then you do things for solangar, shamara, as long as.
For reward.
Yeah, for reward of some kind. But then if we take reward away, and or like if we take monetary if we take monetary reward away and we use emotional and spiritual reward, right, then we would notice that the good deeds that we put out into the universe and into the world, right, they come back and they come and give us times 10. That is why people like you can wake up in the morning, né? And then somebody send you $100.
Yeah,
it happens a lot. Where you can get into a car and you guys can have a good conversation with the taxi driver, and then the taxi driver is like, don't pay, man.
Yeah.
You know, no futa, man. No futa, don't pay.
A person says, keep the change.
Yeah. Keep the change. No, don't worry. Keep the change. It's like that. It's like that for you, because you are being rewarded for all the times that you assist, even when you don't have to. You assist even if it's not your place. You are the type of person that will find somebody at Teka, and then you put them in your car, you take them to the hospital, and then they will say, no, let me give you money. You're like, no, just go and pay there inside the hospital. You understand? Pass the passion on. So you are a humanitarian. You have the best interest of human beings at heart.
I think we need to teach this patience to the kids.
Yeah.
More so that at the end of the day, they end up doing things because they end up working where their patience is.
Yes.
Instead of money, because I remember we grew up with kids, and I were with a name of them, but then, you know, you end up finding the kid in Windhoek or looking for job in Windhoek. But, you know, his passion is
the cow, you know? Yes. Yes. He's a cow person, yeah. He's an agriculturist. Yeah. Livestockist.
If, if he could be on that on that part of the of the job, he could be making a huge difference. Because he can go an extra mile to save a governor that's supposed to die. But
yes.
Now, because of the economy in the country, we pick what is on the table and we try to make a living and make a survival. And
but in everything, I've noticed, right, in all honesty, when we talk about passion, in every single thing that you do, right, your element of passion is inside it.
Yeah.
You just have to find which part of it it is. So you can be a glasses person. Ne, you make glasses for people's eyes. Now, an ordinary person wouldn't think that there would be any passion in that, right?
But
finding passion is knowing that you are going to do such a good job on these glasses so that these glasses can last whoever is going to use them, ne? For the next couple of years, so that they can be able to see, so that they can be able to go out there into the world and do what they need to do with good eyes.
Yeah, and also to say that somebody who was not able to see something clearly is able to see clearly.
Yes.
And you're just going an extra mile to make sure that the next person who does not have the privilege to be able to see far or near got that privilege to see far and near and I think I feel what you're trying to say. I think I feel it.
Yeah. All right.
Although like the previous caller, I also have a listening problem. So.
No. We are quickly going for a break. Please hold the line so that we can wrap up our conversation.
Okay.
Okwe kuranga o mathimbo ya mkucha omoro sheketu na ompa ngoothi njido monjira. Ngashi, ino taaguru kila shampoka. Ino hinga kuhio dhungo, ino hinga anumata era da papa, ino hingirira. Omoro ashoka, ina tukara okuturao nkaramunyo moshiponga. Ino ninga omuyarurwa, ino ninga oshinene nima. Kara omoro ngithi onjira, omu inekewa. Ninga shoka shomonjira, eto hupitha omwenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Get a 2 kg bag of Tastic Rice for just $39.99. 3x1 liter Crystal Gold Olive Oil Blend for $199.99. A 500g Sunshine D Original Brick for only $19.99. And 2 2-liter Fanta bottles for a sweet $37.99. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further.
All right, my beloveds. Hello. Let's wrap up, my brother.
I'm still here. So I just want to say it's a good conversation. It's a good topic. A lot of people are out there. I'm saying maybe there are a lot of people that they have the same thought like me to feel like when they are doing something they're not being like they're wasting themselves or how my wife will take it. Like, ah, you are just there for other people, but when it's going down on you, nobody's coming there for you. I feel like this is more it's a good platform that you let other people also to know that to continue doing it is more it has more blessings than to worry with other what people say is because you are doing something which is your patience and
But one thing you must also know, especially when it comes to the things that you are doing and other people not being there. One thing that people say is that you are always there for people, but people are not there for you. But the truth is, people are there for you. They're just not you. There's only one you. So it's only you that, it's only you that does the things that you do, the way you do, the things you do. So obviously, if they are going to come to you, they are not going to come to you the same way you would come to them.
Yeah.
You know, because if you were going to visit somebody in the hospital, you would go there, Kucha, you're asking the doctors questions, you're making sure they understand their problem, you are giving them a little bit of food, you are assisting them with a bath, but then somebody else is somebody else. When they come to you to the hospital, they just bring you your juice, they sit there, they talk, and that's it. But we must not have expectations of other people. And we must not compare other people to us. Because when we compare ourselves, when we compare other people to us, we will be disappointed by far. Shashi, you know, you, if your friend's mother dies, one, you are sending money. At the beginning of the funeral, you are sending money already. Hmm? So your friend can run around. And then secondly, you are putting in leave so that you can go and be there for your friend. And then thirdly, when you get there, you are working, my dear, to make sure that your friend's mother's funeral goes very well. But when your mom passes away, right? Your friend sends money.
Yes.
And then they don't come, nothing. They just send money. But you must learn that you are not other people and other people are not you. So in whatever way they show up, be grateful for that. Even if it's just a phone call, that is who they are. And that's why I'm saying, because we are special, we are no longer special, because all of us are different, and that's why we are not special, because everybody is special. Yeah. So the way matriarch does things is not the way you are going to do things. And you must not crucify me for doing things that the way I do them, because I'm not you.
You.
Yeah. You must not cry, ne? When you come to me and then you tell me your problem about your child's school shoes, ne? And in my head, I don't think that I must give you 200 to go and buy shoes. Because we are not the same. Shapo, you can ask me. And then, if you ask me, andi remo, then I'll give you because you asked me. You understand? But if I don't give also, it's not because I love you any less. It's not because you're not my real friend. It's just because I'm just not like you.
Yeah.
And that's where you choose who do you want to be in your circle? Who do you want to associate with? Which type of friends do you want? And then you go and look for your tribe. Your tribe, just the same way as if you are here on pulling heartstrings, you are a person that cares for the collective.
Yeah.
So you look for your own people. Somewhere, somehow, in this world with billions of people, there are two or three people that will understand you and they will get you. And they will just, it will be like you are twins. You and your friend, that's why there are certain friends, when they pass away, you feel their absence. Shashino, it was like this person was the only one that understood, man. Kucha, you guys walk the same, you talk the same, it's like you are twins, man. Kucha, if your mother is stuck somewhere, your friend will go, man. Kucha, engwe, tikirara manga kironga, anonga itandiko. You understand, yeah? And it's not many of us that have that. So we must look for those people, and we must learn how to identify them. And those that are not like the way we want them, we must also learn to let them go. That's why we get married to people that are so far from what we believe in our hearts. And then later on, we want to be beating them because they are not the same with us. First of all, this person doesn't treat their mother like a mother.
Yeah.
And then you expect them to come and treat your mother like a mother. This person doesn't care about old people. But you are compassionate or passionate about old people. So why would you be stuck in a relationship forever if you are really, really honestly very passionate about old people and you intend to have a life where you have all your seniors, in your vicinity?
So in other words, you are trying to say you must marry your type.
My dear, you must look for your type. You must marry your type. You must be friends with your type. You must laugh with your type. You must be taught by your type. Eh? It must be your type. Be employed by your type. Eh?
That one is easy to say, but it's almost like a mission impossible. I mean, just to be able to know that this is my type, it's very much hard, because if you ask did you talk to your mother today, she'll be like, yes, I did, but she only called and say hi, I just greeted, and you expect when she said yes, you expect her to have talked with her mother almost 20 minutes, just
Just move a little bit. I can't hear you. I don't know what happened, but move again a little bit, just a little bit. Mm-mm, not nicely.
Hi.
Yeah, there I can hear you.
Yeah. What the thing is that to find a when
okay, wait, man. I don't know what you did to the network, but move just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit again.
Mm-hmm.
Lift the phone, man. In the air, Kashona.
Okay.
Aye, not, no.
Hi. Oh, okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, no. What I was saying is that it's really, okay, it's a good thing to do, but it's also a tricky thing because school, people don't really give out their true identity just like that. These are things that you're going to notice when you're already a person. And then now, that's now when you know that, this person all along, I thought, They go well with the parents, but they don't have a good relationship with the parents, you know.
Mm.
But in the process, you'll be like, I thought, and this is what caused us to find ourselves in relationship in situation whereby we are married to somebody who does not really look like what we wanted or what it wanted to be. And we find ourselves struggling sometimes, and they come fight, they come this. All I can say that in regard of this now, this is very much hard. So
that one is not hard. Do you know what the problem is? You overlook the things that are not right because we want the person. Because you want me, overlook the things that I'm doing wrong because apparently I'm doing many things that are correct. The problem is you. What is important to you? Because, I can be cooking, I can be cleaning, I can be sexing, I can be giving birth to kids, I can love your other kids, Mara, I hate old people. Yeah. So you weigh the options. Then you are like, oh, but she does 5 things correct.
Yeah.
So maybe this one is not a big deal. Until, right, it doesn't go in alignment with your life and your life plans. Because you in your life, what you want, ne, is your house there in the village, yikare yuna or section, the akurupara manga, akurupara yoye, kucha is your mother, your father, and your mother-in-law, and your father-in-law when they are old. Mukarere akurupe eni, that is your plan, that is your intention, that is your life plan, that's why you are working so hard in your life, so that you can be able to maintain this dream that you are having. And then, because you overlooked this part, you go and now go continue with your life plans. And your life plans must now involve old people. Then you put this person that doesn't like old people because you compromised. Because you didn't know which one was the most important to you. So you put her now in the same house with all those old people, and she is giving them hell. Why is she giving them hell? Because she doesn't like old people and she doesn't care for them. And she's cooking every day. She's laying pipe every day. She's giving birth every day. She's cleaning your things. Mara, your mother otatu tiremo minambo yi nendako for 2 days. Maro e remember him.
That's going to be now.
Now it's going to be a fight. Every day you are fighting. Yes. Every day you are fighting. And otwe sere meme momi nambongini. Ndi andiko shukutu,
or even it just a big disagreement.
Yes.
But okay, let me just say this. 75% of marriages that I've met so far.
Yeah.
I think people have issues understanding each other.
That is correct.
75% of the marriages that I have met so far.
They have a problem with understanding each other because they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that many of us get into relationships, but 90% of the beginning of all of our relationships, we were just in bars.
Not even 90.
You
can say 99.
99% of the time, we were in bars, we were hanging out with friends, we were just talking nonsense. Like, do you know that even if you ask, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's in a relationship with you, mm-hmm. must know that in order for you to marry them, they must be kind to people.
Yeah.
You don't care about anything. You don't care if she has a degree. You don't care if she has a job. You don't care. As long as she's nice and she's kind to people.
And now when you find yourself in a situation whereby she's not kind to people, this thing is
passion
on your shoulder that you're getting each and every day.
Yes. Now it becomes you start hating her and you don't even know that you hate her because you just start disliking her and you don't know how it happens. It just happens.
You don't even start to dislike her, you start to disapprove what she does.
Yeah, but you also dislike her. When you don't like your partner, it happens. You don't like your partner because of the person that they are. Like, how do you hate people? But hold the line quickly, my dear, before we wrap it up again.
Okay.
Get to USAFE today, where every penny counts. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lavis Previn 1 washing powder. Costs only 34.99 Namibian dollars at USAFE. And a large tin right brand dog food, just 26.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE, we all save at USAFE.
Alrighty, let's wrap it up, my brother. Look, there's a difference between love and like.
Yes. Love and like.
Like, yeah. Liking someone is what you feel for me.
Mm-hmm.
You like me. Metriak Angbuya. I like her, man. You know, I can mm-hmm. talk for hours with Metriak, man. She's a cool person. Yes. You know?
Yes.
And then love is what you feel for somebody that you share a bond with, intimacy. You love them. Now, what you are supposed to have in a relationship is both. You are supposed to like the person that you are in love with. Because it must be him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you break up with this person, you still know that they are a nice person.
Yeah.
Okay. You still like them as a person. That's why you can bump into somebody and you can say, "Kucha, oh, you know, and you guys can have a conversation about nothing and still move on. But if the person is a bad person, right, then you don't like them. So liking something or liking someone would be their character.
Oh, now I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah, their character. You know, I can sit for hours and talk to my person and we can laugh and we can do what. And even when she goes rollerblading, but she's enjoying it. Yeah, she's a cool person. You understand? So in a relationship, you must love and you must like your partner. Now, if your person hates old people and then she hates people also, she just, not even hates people, she's disrespectful, kenaro mikaro, like towards other people, or who, or her shindurantu, or her yorantu, or her tukwantu, she hates people, you understand? You can love her, because you grow into love, right? You can love her, but then you can start disliking her. And when you dislike her, that's when it comes to a point where you guys the whole time.
Aha,
oh, hey, we're going to have
another
one. You love her? Even if she was in the hospital tomorrow, you go. Eh? You will even take her to the hospital. You love her. You don't want any. Yes. You love her. Mara, you don't like her.
You don't. So you can love a person, but you don't like
Yes, you can. And that is the same thing with parents and their children. They love their children, but they don't like their children because of how the child turned out to be.
Yeah, you know,
have you ever met a parent that, like, the parent doesn't like the child? I'm there for you because I'm your mother. I love you and I don't want you to die. I don't want anything. So I will help you. I will be there for you, but I don't like you as a person. Shashingwe on tu una on tubo, for example. Yes, unara, like, ngono, tovurukukara to o comparing nguno na yo kucha, ngono hae Elizabeth aka. Elizabeth hii kwata, mara shandiri arame gumbo na ngirifane, oshiri no mongonga emwene terandar. Ano ntua chapeni.
Yeah.
You understand. It's not that I don't love my child. It's just that I don't like the person that they are. So now if you're in a relationship with somebody that you don't like, right? It's because of everything that they display out there. You ask yourself questions like, ano opone wukaya mukure onkuruntungao. Like, why?
Why?
Yeah, why? Opone wukakara andora uri montama na nanyoko for 3 hours. Why? Eh, opone ukatuke your older sister. Why? Eh, opone ukakare to shindura my landlord. Why? Because you are a humanitarian. It's not that you want to keep the peace or anything. You just don't want anything that is disrespectful to another person's dignity. Yeah. You don't want that. You don't like that. Shashino nangwe mwene ngerowa he. You are not the type of person that insults people with their mothers.
Yeah.
You know? Because you respect elders. You are not the type of person that would shame somebody's body.
Because you know
that such words, they cut deep. Chapote kutu kwaro khutu because of what you did. Hey, wahingo lie. You understand? Kaishikucha andorango ngwe laika. No. It's because wahinga ulai is different to ngwe lai. Yeah, you choose. You understand what I mean? Even if you're, like, I'm not saying you're an angel. I'm just saying that even the way you do things, right? It's not to hurt you forever. Kucha, yeah. Kwete kucha, nguo mfupi ngao shashino nguo avaroka ungu. You never say that in your life. You just say kucha, o ndunge dhoene, o dhulainai. Now you understand, but you will not body shame. You will not say kucha ya ngwe no ho nsigo na kweta kucha ezimojo alike muna asigo na. You will never say that. You will never take it to there. You will just shapo say kucha ngwe o unondede. You are lazy. You would insult somebody like that. But then you find now a partner that is saying, kucha, zaputare, ngele mae ni umwendo nsinda shapo weoka. Eh? Ooh! Asigonanye! My God.
Then it's going to be a corrosion.
Yes. And you don't appreciate that. So now, when you are having a partner like that, you start disliking them. And then the whole time, kemuri, you are just clashing. You are just clashing. Kethimbo ontama na naradiri po pokati keni nenge wa surrender wafa wen sunyenge.
Yeah.
And then you just stop talking. Kuchaye wawa. Okay.
But my question is this. Okay, let me ask. Let us let it up. Because you may not
finish. You have 8 more minutes. You can ask.
Okay. When a person finds him or herself in a situation whereby he dislikes the partner. What would you advise?
Oh, please do call back, my beloved friend. I was having so much fun with you. Please do call back. But okay, if we are talking about disliking your partner, because there's a difference, right? There's a difference between love and like. Like is what we feel for people that are genuinely interesting to us, people that are cool to us. We like our friends. We like our teachers. We like our radio presenters. We like our girlfriends. We like our boyfriends. We like our wives. We like our husbands because they are cool people. And then we get to love, which is intimacy. Into me, you see. If you are looking at intimacy, it's into me, you see. You see me inside, internally. So what happens in an event where you don't like your partner is you have to look at what you don't like about your partner and ask yourself if you can live with it or you can't live with it. If whatever they have done is big enough for you to dislike them, then you have to go and relook it. Because many of us go and ruin relationships, because we don't like our partners or we don't like the person that they are being in this phase. So you can find somebody that is going through something, right? Let's say hypothetically, I had a consultation. I had a client that had a miscarriage, right? She had a miscarriage and she's 29. And with this miscarriage that she had, she was not dealing with it properly. Or not properly. She was not dealing with it according to the partner's interpretation of what properly is. So this guy decides that he is going to break up with her because she's too emotional and she's too sensitive and she's just going on about a stupid thing. You understand? But he doesn't understand what the miscarriage represented for her in her life. So what it represented for her in her life was fertility. Because she's 29, right? So it was fertility. And it was also a something that she wanted. Like she wanted the baby very much. You know, she wanted the baby and it was something that she couldn't have. So it was something that was taken from her. And then thirdly, it was the disorientation or the trauma that comes with people's lives as we grow. So as we grow, ladies and gentlemen, there are certain images that we have of ourselves because of what society has pushed upon us. So there are certain people that are bold and confident because ever since they were younger, they were always told they are beautiful. They are always told that they are wonderful. They are always told that they are a star. They are always told that they are what? And those kinds of people, they grow up and then somebody, right, along the way comes and crashes that idea. Crashes that idea and tells them that they are worthless and tells them that they are not beautiful. They are ugly and tells them that they are this and they are that and they are this. And when it's said so many times, when you are rejected so many times, you start to believe it, even if it is a lie, even if it is the truth. I don't believe in beauty or ugly. I believe that we are all unique and that is why we are not unique. We are all special and that's why we are not special, because we are all different and that's why we are not different. Right? So there's no such thing as beautiful and ugly. There's just something that is appealing to you and something that is appealing to me. And sometimes we take it to heart as human beings. So we have body dysmorphia. We hate our bodies, right? We hate our bodies. We see our bodies uglier than what is actually displayed, you know, because as long as you have a body, I think it's beautiful, right? You have one? Great. Wonderful. I think it's beautiful. So now there's that insecurity of she's short. She is tiny. She has a small frame. And she is, and also on top of that, she's going through something that also, it was physical, it was emotional, it was spiritual. You understand? So she's going through that. So the first thing that was displayed is that because of my body that is not big enough, my body that is not tall enough, my body that is not, curvaceous enough. And also there are people that are struggling with real issues. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not see it as a real issue because it's not your issue, but there are people that are struggling with real issues like body, you know, you might think, right? Especially these girls that go around saying, "Kucha, oh no, you are fat," right? The thin girls have the most insecurities about their bodies because deep down inside, they also want to be fat. I'm telling you now, thin girls have, right? the most discomfort, or thin girls have discomforts with their bodies as well, because deep down inside, they want to be fat. They also want to have nyash. They also want to have thighs. They also want to have thick thighs and rolls all over. They do want that, right? But their bodies are, that's not what their bodies are about. It's just the same as fat girls. They secretly want to be thin. They want to be slender. They want the bum bum to go away. They want that. And it's just human nature. So she comes and she's talking about her frame, and she's like, my body is, it was not capable of carrying. And my issue was that with that statement was that it is not that your body was not capable of carrying, because that is an insecurity that you are carrying. It's not what happened. Many of us have a tendency of taking up issues that are not ours. You are not sad because somebody that you don't know committed suicide. You're not. Okay? Maybe you're just bored in your own life, eh? And you want to take up something that's more exciting. I get it. Sometimes we need to escape, and sometimes we escape into other people's lives, and that's not yours. It's just the same as you, your body did not miscarry because you are small, or you are petite, or you are short. No, or you are tall. Your body did not miscarry because of that. It is most probably because, one, the woman's biology often has nothing to do with it. It's usually the sperm that is faulty. So let's just talk about that. It's usually the sperm that's faulty. So if we are just incubators, we don't do nothing. It's your life that you put there that is shaky. So we had a conversation around that. And the issue was that we don't want to accommodate other people's emotions, and we don't want to accommodate their truths. And when their truths come to the surface, we don't want to accept them. The reason we don't want to accept people's truths is because we don't want to be alone. So we would rather stick it out with this imperfect thing that is going to most probably damage my life and ruin it, eh? Because of, not even because of what they're doing, but because of their mannerisms. And later on, we want to beat people into correction because what they represent is not what we want. And we miss that. We miss that a lot.
Onda karhandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo o utumaraka mahupi. Onetwe kaime okufutarumwe okuinyengarumwe okujapandali fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga onetwe kaoyo hai dira dira ya fange. Omafikwa amwe ohandi streaming, omafikwa amwe ohandi popi, omafikwa amwe ohandi ningaishe poshikando shimwe pamwe na parateza oinda holora ame haishi pangere osho paumwene dira dira omakota fanoni data momkaro wiri mwana pareka okutuma koutumaraka oku streaminga na okudenga pamwe na parates konga parates Namibia.
Always prepare.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili nehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM.
Alrighty, so going back to our conversation about the young lady that had miscarried, right? The point that I was trying to drive home there with her conversation is that in that moment she saw her partner for what he actually is. Now it is a choice of staying. What he is a person that is not tolerant of dealing with her emotions. Eh? Not tolerant to her emotions. So usually we find this a lot in relationships, but because it's not a physical thing, it's not a financial thing, it's not even something that can be detected as emotional. It's just something that you live with and then you let it go. The types of people that that when they are sad, they are allowed to be sad. They're allowed to be sad because you give room for that sadness. You create space for that sadness, for them to truly immerse within their feelings and be in their feelings. And when they're happy, you allow that. You don't cut it short. But when you are sad, when you are sad, it seems like your sadness irritates them. They only have a specific tolerance for your sadness. Like, you are only allowed to be sad for 3 days. After 3 days, it's a wrap. You're not allowed to be sad anymore. That's why people ask questions like, oh, it's been 5 years since the person died. Are you not over it? Or they're in a better place. I mean, for you to cry about it is just sinister. Or for you to had gone through something that traumatized you. And you talk about it. And you talk about it to make yourself, it's to make yourself feel better. It's for whatever reason that you talk about it. Sometimes it's for malicia. Sometimes we do talk about, past experiences, in terms of wanting to get sympathy from other people, because we now become fiends. We become addicted to the sympathy that comes from other people. And we always want to be in the sympathy card. We always want to be sympathized with. And we always want to be sympathized with. And sometimes we are really just going through it and we're just not over it. And other people can't tolerate that. And I use this analogy a lot. And for my regular listeners, you guys know this analogy a lot. It is me being the activist. And this is pure hypocrisy from my end, right? Because I'm was the activist for let's be okay. Let's be good. Let's try. Let's learn. Let's live, right? I'm the advocate for let's go through life together. And the hypocrisy behind it is that I've been a person that had suffered from depression and anxiety for a very long time. And it was on and off. It was on and off. It was on and off until I came to a point where now I can sense it coming and I can avoid it. And by avoiding it is by me verbalizing and me talking about it and me going through it and feeling it and then letting things go, you know. And I didn't actually notice how well I let things go, because I go through the process. It's just like grief. I go through it and I let my existence do what it needs to do until it gets better.
Now, with grief, on the other hand, it's one of those where there's no time frame for it. If you are going through grief right now, beloved, there's no time frame for it. There's no day that, oh yeah, you're going to be fine next week. Oh, you're going to be fine in 2 months. Like, oh, don't worry. Oh, your husband died. No, he's going to be fine. Widow. No, you're going to be fine. And I think that maybe tomorrow we're going to have a guest. She's a young widow. A young widow with 4 children, and her experience has been one of those experiences that are just magical. I look at her with such awe and such amazement at how strong she has come out of it, and how resilient, and how it must have impacted her. But that's a conversation for another day. And we go through our experiences and we talk about our experiences, and I was chief speaking about it. I was chief depression. I was chief anxiety. And because it was always me, right? It was always me, and it was always my emotions, and the world centered. I was the center of the universe, of every single universe that I stepped into. I was the center of it. It almost became a part of my identity, you know? And I say this now because I was like, whoa, that's hypocrisy. That's stupid, matriarch. That's like, whoa, you don't even stand for that, but you're doing it, right? So I had gone into a relationship with somebody that had, that was fine from the beginning. It was happiness from the beginning. And then at some point, right, because his life was not going the way, they wanted their lives to go, and things just hit the fan real quick, real fast for them in their own personal life. Excluding Mimos. I was like the perfect one. And their lives went well, and then they fell into a state of depression. So I was all for it. Like, oh, you're depressed or you're diagnosed. Okay, cool. So let's fight through this. I was all game for fighting through it. Nah? I was all game. I was like, hey, let's get pamphlets. Let's get posters. Come on, guys. Wrap it up. Let's go. Let's do this. You know, I was chief. Eh? I was a chief executive of the depression campaign for Habibi, you know? I was going for it. And then I got tired of their depression. Then my tolerance and my patience for their depression went weary. Even though I'm the same person that knows that, and I say this because I know this, that depression can last for a month. It can last for 10 months. It can last for 10 years. It can last for 5 years. It can last however long it wants to last. Because if it's coming, it's coming. And not unless you have mastered it. You have mastered your body, yourself, so that you don't fall into a negative state. That is, there are negative states to fall into, but there are states that you can still get yourself out of it and you can get help, right? So he fell into a ditch, and I was tired of his ditch. So I was like, you're still inside there. So I found myself saying things like, just get over it. And it's the same stance that I used to say, like, don't tell people that are depressed to get over it. You know? And you see the hypocrisy behind it, like, how can you be activist for this, but you are here behind closed doors saying that, people should just get over it. It's more like, I'm an activist for abuse, and then here I am in behind closed doors abusing, you know? And this was, where I also learned that I'm not tolerant. I'm not tolerant to other people's pain or to other people's experiences. I'm not tolerant enough. So I learned that one the hard way, where I had to learn how to be tolerant. I had to learn with my husband. I had to learn how to be tolerant. And it was either you walk out or you are tolerant. So I learned how to be tolerant. And here we are, tolerant. So in this, the emotion of not liking your partner could come from the fact that you don't like the person that they are being, or the person that they are being displaying. And what you can do with that, as our previous caller asked the question, what you can do with that is address the things that you don't like. And sometimes you don't know what you don't like, because the things are so little, because they didn't cheat on you, they didn't beat on you, they didn't steal your money, they didn't use you, they didn't do anything that involves display. It's just who they are that you don't like. And if you don't like who they are as a person, you can either choose to be tolerant and not teach them, but you must be who you are and they must be who they are. And then we pick up on each other's energies and somewhere, somehow we will become in sync, right? But it is a journey and it is something that you can unteach them and unlearn. You can unlearn and unteach people, as many habits as you would like, because sometimes, right, some of these things are not even who they truly are. And you are in love with the potential of who they could be. And you are in love with the shadow. You are in love with their inner being, but their inner being is behind a shadow. And the shadow is the ego. The shadow is the pompous and arrogance. The shadow is everything that society deems to be dirty. That is what they are in the limelight. But you know that deep down inside there, because when put in a vulnerable state and they display the vulnerability within them, that's what makes you love them. The fact that they can apologize to you wholly, wholeheartedly and sincerely. You like the fact that they can really laugh at a joke. Like, yeah, I think many of you guys fell in love with me because I can laugh. Ne, whoa, it's my superpower. Shiri, poko yorampono. It's either we are laughing at people, ourselves or something, but to laugh, we are laughing. You understand? And that's why we fall in love with certain people, but they don't display these traits constantly or all the time. And that is why, when you put somebody in a safer place, they're able to display this and they're able to come to the forefront and they're able to now live within who they are. Many of us are a shell of what we used to be. Many of us are a shell of what we want to be. Many of us are empty vessels that are roaming through the streets of Namibia and hoping to find camaraderie and oneness with our own. We just want a place where we belong. And in that belonging, that's when we can display true compassion. Some people are stingy, not because they are naturally stingy, but because somebody taught them the hard way or the good way that giving is a fool's game. Some people have been so hurt that you can't crack them just like that. No. It means that somewhere, somehow, you have to bruise yourself to crack them. And you have to ask yourself these questions. When you see traits that you don't like within your partner, when you see these traits, you ask yourself if you're willing to stay or you're willing to walk away. Now, a lot of people tell you that the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. But truth is that there's no such thing as the angel you don't know, what, and the devil you know, what. No, it is just a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice. And walking away and sticking to your guns, or sticking around and sticking to your guns. So the way you fix not liking your partner is by telling them what you don't like about them. But you have to tell them that it's not what you do, it's why you do what you do that I don't like. It's not that you answered the waiter badly. It's the fact that you think that it is okay for you to answer the waiter badly. It's not that you yelled at your mom. It's the fact that you think that it's okay for you to do that. It's the fact that you allow that to happen. It's not that you laugh at people, right? It's not that you laughed at that person. It's because you think or feel that it is okay for you to laugh at somebody that's suffering and struggling. It's not that you laughed at the woman's shoes. It's because you think that it is okay for you to laugh and make fun of the woman's shoes, regardless of her situation. Sometimes we dislike people because they are cruel, not because they are going around beating anybody, not because they are going around slandering or slur anybody, but because of their personalities of cruelty, which are, they have a certain aura of cruelty. They are the types of people that walk into the house with plastics and take the plastics to the room and they eat in the room. Now, you eating in the room is not a bad thing. What is a bad thing is that you didn't think of others when you took your things to the room. That's why people are mad at you. That's why people don't like you. They say you are selfish. You're selfish because you could have eaten your Kentucky outside. You could have stopped anyway. Bro, Kentucky has chairs. You could have ate your Kentucky there. I know, but I want to eat my Kentucky at home. Yeah, but what about the others? Yeah, but why do you always have to care about the others? We don't like you because you think that. Why do you have to care about others? Because you don't care about others. We hate you because of that. We hate you because of the way you are. We hate you because you are actually selfish and you mask your selfish behavior with logic. That's why. Because a sane person, we're not saying don't be hungry. We're not saying don't buy your Kentucky with your salary. We're not saying don't buy your nice things with your salary. No. We're not saying be a slave. No. We're saying that if you're going to eat your KFC, buy your KFC and eat it outside. If not, right, buy enough so that we can have a taste too. And even if we can't have a taste, at least the kids in the house, buy them also. The adults, but give the children. That's why, like, punona, you understand? Now we are watching you with your plastics. And this happens a lot with tenants, right? Tenants that are renting in, that's why I always advise you guys, don't go and rent into somebody's house if you are not a person for the family. Because one way or another, those people become your family for however long you are there. They become your family. So if you are a person that hates people, that hates family or not family oriented, right? Then go and rent an outside room or a flat where you are alone. But if you are renting in somebody's house and you are coming home with plastics with cold drink and chips packets and what, budget a $64 and buy the kids of that house knickknacks, that packet of knickknacks, and give them, you can even say it's for school, and you give them every single day that they are going to school so that it is not something that you now become a person that the people of the house hate because you are who you are and you are what you are and that is what it is. You understand what I mean? So let's do better there. So that's why your partner dislikes you. Yeah, your partner dislikes you because you are not a nice person. Your partner dislikes you because you are selfish. Your partner dislikes you because you don't think about other people. Your partner dislikes you because of the way you answer other people, the way you think about other people, the way you laugh about other people, the way you are. Eh? That's why. And sometimes they stick around because they think that one day you're going to change and then they realize that you are not actually going to change because this is your manners that you came with from your mother's house and it trickles down to everything. It's just like ondino. Ondino ngeroya enyoya enyar. Like, yo, I cannot deal with people that are disrespectful, like arrogant. Like, ah, no. ondino unaro ndino njia kuchangai ngaitishininga shima cha changao, even if it benefits you, because you are the same person that's gonna crawl everywhere because you don't want to shed that thing. And that is why somebody would let you go, because you think that you are above everything and you fart ice cream. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. We're talking about passion. We're talking about being passionate about something and following your passion, you know. And when we say follow your passion, I wouldn't say follow your passion fully. I would say do something that you can incorporate your passions with. Because at the end of the day, I would be doing you an injustice to tell you to follow your passions, because this is Namibia. We don't do that. You can be a phenomenal singer, eh? You can be a phenomenal singer, but I will never advise you to take up singing as your life. I would never. I would say get a job, sis. I would say go to school, get an education, get a job, and then, right, within your school life, you do your songs. Within your work life, you do your songs. If you're going to be an accountant, for example, and you've got this banging voice, right, and you've got hella stage presence, right, then how I would say you should follow your passion is you becoming friends with the marketing and public relations people, so that every time your company has an event, they book you as an artist. They book you as an artist and you go and perform for your department, or you go and perform for, so that they don't have to go and be paying Shapumba Chamtenga. They don't have to pay Karantuya Kasi. No, they don't have to pay Moroki. They don't have to pay anybody. They don't have to pay Miss Gideon. They don't have to pay anything like that, because you are hella good. You know, you are passionate. You're hella good. You can take some time out from your salary and pay their producer so that they can produce you a good song, and you make music, and you can push your music to a certain degree. If it's not something that is going to now hinder your whole entire existence and life, and you can incorporate your passion for singing. And this hobby that you're having, you can, and your talent, right? You can incorporate that into where you are. If your passion is helping others, and you are working in a department you don't even see anybody. For example, you are very passionate about helping and assisting others, but you are a scientist, for example. And you just work, or you're a chemist, for example, you just work with gases, you work with dangerous things. I've seen you guys in laboratories, dangerous things, right? What you can do is work on something that is going to give you fulfillment. I have a chemist friend that, produces basically the products that we sell, right? And she's a chemist. But what she does is she makes products, because she's a service provider. She is passionate about skincare. She's passionate about what you look like. She's passionate about giving you that confidence through the products that she makes. And you're thinking like, nah, brah, no way. Yes way. She's passionate about it. And in this passion that she has, right, she is now using the scientific part and also part of the passion. That's why she's pushing products, you know, she's pushing the products, and she's pushing it to you guys that also are passionate about skincare, so that you guys are not giving people things that are burning people's skin because it's tested in a laboratory. And that is how you can incorporate your passion for skincare, your passion for general well-being and wellness into the job that you are doing. You can always incorporate your passion into anything that you're doing. Cultivating your passion, ladies and gentlemen, is setting goals. Establish concrete goals related to your passion to provide direction and motivation, right? So concrete goals. Okay, so I'm passionate. What are you passionate about? Okay, so I'm passionate about speaking. I'm passionate about speaking, but I'm not just speaking anything. I'm passionate about speaking words of substance to motivate. So how do I take this passion and mold it so that it reaches the masses? How about I go for an interview at Eagle FM? For what? I would like to host a show. And this show would be dedicated to pulling heartstrings. And this is a conversation that I had with Chicken as well. Because I'm a comedian, right? For you guys that don't know, né? I'm very funny. Yeah. Né? I'm very funny. I'm a funny. Yeah. Me funny. I'm funny. Alright. So I'm basically a comedian, right? I'm a comedian and I'm a poet at the same time. So when we talk about stage, that's what I am. That's what I identify as. With music, it is something that I'm talented in, and I had a message to say. But my forte is the stage, and it is spoken word. So, when I got the opportunity to drive my own car, to drive my own bus in terms of having my own show here at Eagle FM, right? I was very afraid. I was afraid of leaving the comfort of Free Your Mind. I was afraid of leaving the comfort of the boys because it was bouncing off of everybody. I was afraid of that. And one of the things that he said is that go for it. Because now you can be talking about all the things that we don't get to talk about on our show because it's just not funny. Because we can't be talking about rape in a funny context on Mind the Gap. We cannot be talking about abuse or substance abuse. We cannot be talking about addiction. We cannot be talking about mental disorders. We cannot be talking about human well-being, in a platform like that and not mix up the message. So how about, right? You use this passion for human beings, this humanitarian aspect of yourself, right? And you put it into a position that it now has the platform to reach the masses, and it has the platform to reach those that it needs to reach. Are we together, guys? So that is how I'm now harnessing this passion that I have for human beings. I have a passion for you guys. I love you guys. I'm all for love. Like I say, I can come to work for that one person that needed to hear me. Like, that needed to hear me tell them that, yo, don't go. It's not about suicide all the time. It's about just stay a little longer. Just try a little longer. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Let's do better. So I'm all for the human being. So if I want to have an impact in life and leave a legacy of some sort to even just one person, I would say that living in my passion would be me spear hunting or spear leading my own show, anchoring my own show that dictates the emotions and conversations that I want to run with because of what I see going on around with my people in my country, in my backyard. So if we're talking about passion, that's where I'm at. Ooh. That's where I'm at. So 0832888401. And if you are not going to call in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then we are going to dive into the conversation. But it's not just a conversation, ladies and gentlemen. I need you guys to look at it. To look at finding your passion, because many of us, we do something for so long, you know. You are in IT for so long. Or you're an engineer for so long, or you're an engineer and you're, one of the things that kind of dimmed a lot of people's light when it comes to academics, right? Is that we watch so many TV shows and we watch so many TV shows and, these TV shows depict an image that we have of a certain profession. For example, like law school, you know, you're thinking suits, right? You're thinking law and order. You're thinking legal fraternity stuff. And when you get to law school, it's anything but that. It's like, it's not. It's usually the hype of the show is usually what happens to you in 20 years, in the next 20 years. So for the first 15 years or for the first 20 years, it's absolutely boring. It's absolutely just you pushing paperwork and you just being in a hot court and you just, yeah, it's just ridiculously not as sway as cinematography dictates it to be. It's the same as psychology, for example. You know, when you get into psychology or into the field of psychology, what you're thinking is, oh, we're going to learn about bipolar and we're going to learn about schizophrenia and we're going to learn about the essence of the mind and the human anatomy. And we're going to learn about this and which people have which disorder. You think that, oh my goodness, I'm going to be sitting in the hospital and I'm going to be dealing with people from the loony bin and I'm going to fix it, or I'm going to know and understand it. You think that when you get into psychology, and then you realize that, yo, first of all, we're just going to go to Carl Jung. We're going to talk about the shadow aspect. And then we're going to go into the philosophy of Plato. We're going to do that. And then also, you, on top of that, you're going to have philosophy classes so that we can learn about the philosophies of life. And you're like, yo, brah, but when do we get to the disorders? Eh? And then you go into social psychology, where you're just basically going to be talking about social aspects of the psychological part of it. And in this, you're going to just learn about basically everything that you already know, but you now have to prove that you know what you know, and you have to put it in the correct context, and you're still not learning nothing about nothing yet. And then the first year is over and you're like, yo, brah, but wait. When do we get to the good part? Then you go into the second year and then basically it's just, yeah, the same kind of gist. And you only get to learn about disorders and stuff like that in about your final year. But it's also a matter of if you're picked for the program or if you're not picked for the program. Either ways, you have to go clinical, you have to go industrial, and there are certain systems that are put into place, and not everybody can just practice and not everybody can just have a paper. And there are so many technicalities around it. And you are here like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. What you can do, right, is if you have an interest for the human mind, you can go into psychology, right, lower your expectations, and also just read ahead so that you can stimulate your mind and stay passionate about it, because the stimulus wears off, because it's 5 years, right? The stimulus wears off because it now becomes a redundant act. It now becomes something that is strenuous. It now becomes something that is something that you don't want to do, because you thought, first of all, when I start working at Karatura Hospital, I'm going to be sitting in the hospital and I'm going to be the doctor on call, and they're going to call me and I'm going to be dealing with, oh no, this person was trying to jump off a bridge. Oh, tell me about your childhood. It's not even going to be like that. For starters, it's not even like that. It is a matter of, whoa, okay, so this person tried to jump off a bridge. Okay, they need to see a psychiatrist, because a psychiatrist is the one that can actually, right, can actually now prescribe an injection to sedate them. And then we sedate them, and then they have to be booked in. And then basically all you do for that night is paperwork. You don't actually deal with the patient at all even. And you're like, but that's not what I signed up for. Like, yeah, it's not. But you're passionate about bringing people to where they need to be. So part of that process is understanding that there's a process. So maybe, just maybe, with our passion, what we need to learn is compassion. What we need to learn is tolerance. If we're tolerant, then maybe, just maybe, we can be okay. So let us stay passionate. Let us understand that it is all part of the process, and we're trusting the process for 2025. We're trusting the process because I think that if we can trust the process, then we don't have any loopholes along the way. So let's establish goals. First of all, how we're going to cultivate our passion is we're going to set goals. Creating goals that are related to your passion and direction and move and motivation. So motivate yourself to follow your your passion in whatever field you're in. So if you're a lady that picks up phone calls, don't look at it like I'm a lady that picks up phone calls. You must look at yourself like I'm a lady that assists people to navigate themselves through their queries that are important to them. So it's more like you are a light worker. It's more like you are a lead. It's more like you are the candle in the darkness that's saying, come to this side. And it will still be in alignment with your passion of wanting to assist others, because, I mean, you are most assisting. You are assisting us in putting on our data bundles, because many of us are doing things like, oh, yeah, I just work for the call center at TN Mobile. Yeah, you don't just work for the call center at TN Mobile. You are putting on the Wi-Fi in my house so that my kids can be they can stop being restless. You are making my home life a bit better with the service that you're providing and the thing that you're providing within the service. So you're giving me data. Yeah, you know, Paratus. You're giving me an opportunity to get assisted to make my life better. So you don't just work in a call center. You are assisting me to get what I want. And in your assistance, you are a service provider to me. So how do we find our passion and make it a job? For example, let us have a young lady of a great caliber tell us about how we're going to do this. And ladies and gentlemen, we at Eagle FM do not claim ownership or any rights of the TED Talks or any conversations that we're going to be playing on our program. It is strictly for illustration purposes as we dive into the passions of life.
Hello. So I want to start by asking you to raise your hands if you know exactly what it is you want to do when you leave education. I can see about 6 hands. Okay. Now I want you to raise your hand if you have a few more general ideas, or actually you have no idea at all. Okay, that's the vast majority of you. So not that long ago at all, I was sitting where you are today, and I had no idea either. I had no idea when I was at school, when I was at college, then at university, and when I finally entered the workplace in my early 20s, I didn't know then either. And what I want to do today is tell you a little bit about what I did about that problem. So, to set the scene, I want you to come with me to a wintry Monday morning in November, 3 years ago. It's 6:35 a.m. and it's cold out, it's dark, it's raining, basically like this morning, and I hadn't slept all night. All night I was kept awake by the thought of having to go to work the next day. I had a tight knot of stress in my chest, and it had prevented me from sleeping all night long from worry. And so eventually my alarm went off, I had to get up and had to go and face the day ahead at work. And what I had was a really bad case of the Sunday night blues. So I had quite a good job. I was working on a corporate graduate scheme that I'd worked really, really hard to get onto. My parents were really proud of me. I was earning a good salary. I had job security, job stability. I was using all the skills that I'd learned at university, and I had a clear path of progression. I ticked all the boxes. I had won the career lottery. But yet, every day when I woke up, I dreaded going to work. Absolutely dreaded the idea. And it took me a whole nother year to figure out that actually what had been my dream job that had ticked all of my boxes, it turns out that it was not for me. And that was okay. So that begged the question, what on earth is for me? I had no idea. I was back to square one. So, in a fit of despair one night, I wrote down a list of all the different careers I had ever wanted to try. Everything from when you're asked as a small child what you want to be when you grow up, and you say astronaut or firefighter, prime minister. So my list had 25 jobs on it. And they ranged from really traditional, sensible professions to slightly more unusual, but still fairly mainstream ones. Then the third category seemed completely random. There were things that I'd been told weren't real jobs at all. But they all had one thing in common. All of them were things that I'd secretly dreamed of doing my entire life, but for one reason or another, had never had the opportunity to fully explore them. But in my mid-20s, I was still curious about them now. I sat back on the couch. I started daydreaming, trying to picture Emma, the author, Emma, the explorer, Emma, the archaeologist. And there were so many different possible selves to choose from, and each one was totally unrecognizable from my current reality. And that day, sitting on that couch, I decided that I was going to try every single one on that list in a year before my 25th birthday. And I was just about to turn 24, so that worked out as roughly one every 2 weeks. I was going to quit my job and take a radical sabbatical. So I handed in my notice at work, which was both the most terrifying and the most liberating day of my life. And I set about trying all these different jobs. They ranged from wedding photography, publishing, to being an extra in a movie. Then there was teaching, tour guiding, and interior design. After that, there was working in the police dogs unit. There was landscape gardening and blogging. And just as I'd always dreamed, there were adventures by exploring in the Atlas Mountains of Morocco. There was travel writing in Venezuela and archaeology in Transylvania, of all places. So what I want to do now is tell you a little bit about what I learned doing all of these jobs and the three most important things that I learned from doing so many jobs in so many different industries. So the first thing is about starting your career search, not by thinking about jobs, but by thinking about who you are as a person. So, set jobs aside for a minute and see how you'd answer these three questions. And when I did this, I went back to my list of 25 and I changed some of them. So first up is, what skills do you want to be using and what skills are you good at? And they're not necessarily the same thing, but what you need to do is try and find the crossover about where they are. So this could be things like teamwork or leadership, could be analyzing data, problem solving, or writing. Second question is, what do you want to get out of the workplace? And all too often, we think about how we fit into a job or a career type. We don't consider how well it suits us. So this could be something like making a difference, having a positive impact on society. Or it could be variety, not wanting to do the same thing month in, month out. Or perhaps it's autonomy, you being in control of your workload. The third thing to think about is working environment. And this is something that's very often overlooked, and actually it can make a substantial difference to your happiness at work on a day-to-day basis. So, do you want to be a power dresser going into a slick city office? Or maybe you like the idea of doing something practical, outdoors, or using your hands? Do you want to be working for a large international company that will send you around the world? Or do you like the idea of starting your own business as an entrepreneur with your two best mates in your garden shed? Use your answers to these questions to objectively assess how well different sorts of jobs suit you. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is the sheer importance of getting multiple work experience placements in a diverse range of careers. So I think careers should be like dating. Very few of us end up marrying the first person that we kiss or the first person we go on a date with. But with our careers, that's exactly what we do. We marry our first career. And what I think we should be doing is dating around. We need to date a few more careers. Because doing so allows you to make career decisions based on knowledge and experience rather than based on assumption, hearsay, or perhaps expectation. And I think this point about assumption is really, really important. And it's something that I learned a lot more about during doing so many different jobs. There was one job in particular that showed that. And bizarrely, that was alpaca farming. So this job I got through Twitter, of all things. I sent out a tweet, said, quite like to try farming. Don't know any farmers. Within 10 minutes, an alpaca farmer from Cornwall got in touch and said, come and work for me. Thought, okay, sure, why not? And it was September. It was still quite warm out. I was hoping to go down, maybe get a bit of a tan at the same time. When we spoke on the phone, she said, absolutely not. You need to come in January, because if you like farming in January, when the weather is miserable, you're meant to be a farmer. It was such good logic that I couldn't disagree with her. So a few months later, January rolled round, got in my car, and I drove down to Cornwall. My phone signal did that, so there was a little X at the bottom of my phone. And I arrived in the middle of the night, and the first thing I did was step into a puddle and wonder what on earth I was doing with my life. Woke up the next morning, though, and the hillside was covered in a glittering frost. I put on about 7 jumpers and went outside. And I did all the things that I'd always thought I would do, farming. So feeding animals, animal husbandry, helping the ewes with lambing. It was fantastic. But then it got to lunchtime and sat down with the farmer. She turned to me and said, that's less than half of what I do. Because to be a sustainable farmer in the 21st century, I have to be an entrepreneur as well. I have to actually make a living selling the produce for my farm. And she had multiple lines of business. But the one that she told me about and that I worked on while I was there was, well, she took her alpacas, she sheared them, she got the wool spun into yarn, and then the yarn was made into high-end luxury children's wear that she sold to Harrods. And she managed every single step in that process, from helping an alpaca give birth to negotiating with Harrods. Imagine all the different steps in that process on top of the regular jobs of being a farmer. And what this showed was how many business acumen skills you needed, as well as combining with a practical outdoor job. And it showed how completely wrong I'd been about this career. I was so wrong about it, and I would never have known if I hadn't have gone and seen for myself, if I hadn't learned by doing. So the last thing I want to talk to you about today is about what happened after I tried all those different jobs, because I loved more than one of them. I loved quite a lot of them. And this left me with a new problem, how to choose. I realised that all my life I've been trying really hard to be a high achiever, but it turns out that's not what I was. What I was a wide achiever. And what I also realised was that maybe I didn't need to just choose one, but maybe don't apply that to the dating analogy. Growing up, I'd always assumed you can only do one job, but what doing so many different jobs showed me was that in fact, this isn't necessarily the case at all. In fact, this is a flawed assumption. What I could have was a portfolio career. And this is the concept of having multiple jobs at the same time in either the same or in different industries and doing so by part-time, freelance, or contract work. I could take the skills that I was best at and that I enjoyed most, and I could specialize in those rather than industry-specific knowledge. I could take my skills, and instead of applying them vertically in one industry, I could apply them horizontally in many. So if we fast forward a year, I'm now 26, and I finished my project just over a year ago. I chose to specialise in communications, both in terms of written and verbal through speaking. And over the past year and a bit, I have officially had 7 jobs. And I see that as something to be proud of, not something to hide. I think a portfolio career can show opportunity in what is traditionally seen as fickleness or indecision, because instead it can show traits like flexibility, adaptability, resilience, the ability to learn quickly. Given that 65% of the jobs that you will do don't even exist yet, and that our careers are likely to span well into our mid-70s as ultramarathons, and that we will have over 5 career changes, not job changes, career changes each. I think these are pretty useful skills to have. But ultimately, I think it's about happiness. Figuring out what job or jobs you want to do and getting the experience to see if they are right for you. Happy people have been proven to earn more, both for themselves and for their companies or organisations, and to work harder. So it is in everyone's interest that you love what you do. Both yours, your friends, your families, the people you work with, and the people you work for. We often hear throwaway statements like follow your passions or achieve your potential. But what I hope this talk has done has given you some insight as to how you can practically go away and figure those things out. Because these days, every day I wake up and look forward to the day ahead. And I don't think that I should be the outlier. I think that should be the norm, your norm. Thank you.
Good evening to you, beloveds. Yes. So imagine having all those jobs. Imagine working so hard and finding all those jobs and just doing it. Because what are you passionate about then? You are most passionate about working. You are passionate about making a difference. You are passionate about touching areas and phenomenons that you thought that could never happen. And that is what it is. But ladies and gentlemen, let's dive into yet another TED Talk. And I think that the amazement with what you were saying here was the fact that that there were challenges within the jobs, because like farming, for example, don't come in the nice season when everything is rosy, and come in the harder season so that you have to learn exactly what it is so that you can ask yourself if this is something that you want to do. And many of us, right? We don't actually go out there and do research about the things that we said we want to do. That's why I was talking about, you have this idea of what law is. You have this idea of psychology. You have this idea of political science, you know. You look at Joe Bampanda, you're like, political science! Wow! Hey, political science is on the TV today. Political science is getting kicked out of parliament. Political science is unshaming, which it is shaming, putting the devil to shame. It is exposing. You think that that is all it is, right? And then you actually go and do political science, and then you realize that it's just an extended history class. What is this? It's extended. It's history. It's history on steroids. Or what is this? And I think that if we did a little bit more research in the things that we think we want to do, we would realize that maybe I don't want to do it, or maybe this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm saying this because we like what we see on the outside, but we don't understand what is on the inside. And if we can, right, let's go in winter. If we can, let's try everything. You want to be a supermodel? Go. Go and try seeing if you can model there at Kadutura Fashion Week. Eh? You do it and you ask yourself, did I enjoy this? Did I like this? Did I get paid? Eh? Did I like this? Oh, it was so nice. Eh, but you had to pay your own taxi money to go there. You had to bring your own makeup. Eh, you had to bring, yeah. And then you went to Fashion Week, and then, you were dressed, and you were dressed by who, and it was so nice. Yeah. And then you had to stand for 13 hours, and then you look at the pros and the cons of everything, but you can only look at the pros and the cons of everything if, right, you are in it. Oh. You know, people say things like talking on the radio is easy until they get here. And I like those ones. I like the people that say, yeah, it's easy, most. You just go to the radio and you just start talking. Ah, okay. Come. You guys must call the office. And then saying like, no, Matriarch said we must call. We must call so that we can anchor the show, eh, with her. Then we'll see. Because most of us are filled with energy. You must come. I'm looking for an intern. I'm looking for an intern that can anchor these pulling heartstrings. So that I can be going on leave for 1 month and leave you here. So that I can be going to travel the world and then come back to my thing that is still standing. Come. Because radio apparently is easy, most. Eh? Come. You will come and you will sit and you will cry. Because, yeah, it's not easy. So, how about we experiment first? But before that,
with all different jobs, doing all different types. Around 4 billion people woke up this morning and went to work. Some travelled afar with all different jobs, doing all different types of things. Some had jobs that took them across their house, across the road, across town, across the border, across the equator, with some even having jobs that took them across the thermosphere. Some caught public transport to work. Some walked to work. Some rode their bikes and some drove. And in their private jets, some even flew, while just a few did none because they had the flu. But out of that working population of 4 billion people, how many are actually happy and fulfilled with their career? Back in the early 20th century, most people do what their parents did and take over their parents' business until they retired, to then let their kids take over the business. And this happened over and over, with family-run businesses still existing today. By the mid-20th century, it was common for people to move around, hoping to start a business and create a life of their own, away from parents' wishes and away from traditions. By the time the last few decades in the 20th century arrived, the majority had the aim of being successful and becoming rich. Many were rushing around trying to become successful, which made takeaway food and coffee very popular. And success was one of the most commonly used words in daily conversations. When the 21st century arrived, many left their career pursuits after being inspired to follow their dreams and do what they loved. This brought about terms such as youthpreneurs, game changers, and freelancing. The idea of working for oneself, doing what one loves, is the new ultimate ideal. But for most, it is not as easy as it sounds. This is because to follow your passions, you need to know what your passions are. And even if you learn what your passions are, you need to identify how to shape them into a job or find a job that matches your passion, which is not an easy thing to do, with many people believing there are over 2 million separate categories of jobs in the world. So by the time you finally find a career that you're passionate about, you'd be left hoping that one day you'll be successful in doing so and then inspire others by doing what you love so much that you become inspired even more to then write about it and publish a New York Times best-selling book on how to follow your passions and then work approximately 2 days a year traveling the world as a best-selling author and entrepreneur doing motivational speeches earning trillions of dollars to then have enough money for your kids and their 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 kids to follow their passions, fail and still have enough money to live off and try again to then become the most successful family in history and until the end of time. And even then, how do you know you'll be happy and ultimately fulfilled? Have you found your passions? Are you living your truth and following your dreams? Most people and are when trying to answer these types of questions. So why is it so hard to find fulfillment in passion? Well, firstly, passion is not an action but a feeling. So your love for a particular career is likely to change throughout your life, which can make it difficult to decide on what you want to do and what your most loved field of interest is. Secondly, your love for a particular career is likely to be overpowered by thoughts such as, this might not work out, or should I really go against family wishes? Or it may not be logical, or it may not have the knowledge to transform your passion into an income. Or maybe it's outside of your comfort zone, or maybe it's all of the above. And thirdly, your passion might be something you love, but not something that makes you feel complete or gives you a sense of fulfillment. Basically, passion doesn't always go with fulfillment. And finding it hard to decide on a career can be because there are three options. One, to follow your passions. Two, to have fulfillment. And three, to go with what your current common sense answer would be based on your inherent knowledge, current life and financial situation. So what do you need to have for a fulfilling career that you are passionate about? Earlier, we had a look at what the career of the average person throughout the past 100 years was and how the definition of success and the definition of passion has evolved. But I'm starting to see that passion has a new definition. According to the Collins Dictionary, the third definition of the word passion is, if you have a passion for something, you have a very strong interest in it and like it very much. So instead of following your passions to then maybe becoming happy and fulfilled, follow what motivates you to then have your passions follow you to then become happy and fulfilled.
All right. How about your passions follow you and then you become happy and fulfilled? So ladies and gentlemen, we might continue this conversation tomorrow. We might not. We don't know, right? We don't know. We don't know. What if Santa comes tomorrow? We don't know. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Saturday. And I am about to leave you guys, but you know, I can't just leave you just like that. I need to tell you that I still love you and you are important to me. You are amazing. I'm so glad that you're here. Okay?
This is it, guess we ran our course. No more wondering, now I'm sure. All them days felt like wasted times, and they no longer serve me. Guess we both were on different pages, but on both lovers never lost. And now I hold you down.
Still love.
And it no longer matters to me who's wrong. Nobody knows what we've been through, so I will hold you down.
Still love.
To have ever even shared a single page. Even if the ending never stayed the same, I'm so grateful for the memories we made. There's nothing that would change. And all the chapters finally over, yeah. I can hear you saying in my mind, gotta give it time. To the wounds are healed and closed. Don't know how we feel inside. Don't understand the right or damn, no, yeah. Never turn back the pages I wrote.
This is it, guess we ran our course. No more wondering, now I'm sure. All them days felt like wasted times, and they no longer serve me. Guess we both were on different pages, but our both love was never lost. And now I hold you down. Still love.
Is what turned me from a boy into a man. Even though it didn't work out how we planned, still gotta thank you for the way you let me in, for the way you held me down. I'll never understand. No matter what road we chose, no matter the highs and lows, still need to let you know, to count on me, I'm here for you. Now that the pages turned, we both had to learn. Don't gotta say too much. There ain't no bad blood, it's still our love.
This is it, guess we ran out. No more wondering, now I'm sure. All them days felt like wasted time, and they no longer serve me. Guess we both were on different pages, but our both love was never lost. And now I hold you down. Still love.
Hello. All right. So we're going to listen to one cover, right? And wait a minute. We're going to listen to one more and then a cover and then we're going to say goodnight.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor to be here. It is with my pleasure that I present to you tonight, Below Zero by Friday.
Summer's over,
and you're still not sober.
You've been moving too fast, now the time moving slower.
still on the line.
When they turn on the lines, it's time to call it in.
But I'm still on your mind.
Now who do you
taste like water on your lips?
You had one too many trips. Trying to run away from home, they like Miami.
Yeah, me with
on a Sunday,
get lit.
I pray you make it back.
Cause when September comes around, and the leaves are falling down,
and October's closing in, it's getting scary when November ends. I'm trying to catch you for your heart turns December. Temperature's low, standing at the door. I wanna love you before you get below zero.
Ooh.
Maybe it's gonna take some time now, get it out your system.
Baby,
all that partying deep in clubs, but you're losing your rhythm. Too much late nights, you don't know what a morning is.
Better wake up your mind, it goes out on it.
And I ain't got no pride to save you, oh my woman. I just want you inside to give you all my loving. You're losing your soul, but you're
so fragile. Oh, I'm losing hope. Don Julio, you taste like water on your lips.
You have one too many trips.
Ladies and gentlemen, that song is specifically written for you guys that have partners that are drinking too much, eh? That are drinking too much. You are losing your soul while you call it soul searching. Oh, I'm losing hope, eh? I don't have the pride to call you my woman. Guys, you guys must listen to the music. Don Julio tastes like water on your lips. That means, ne? It is an everyday thing, guys. Kucha, it's a normal thing. Don Julio, tastes like water on your lips. But before we go that, you're gonna kill it.
This girl. You
let's go.
Maybe I came on too strong.
Woo! This is a.
Maybe I waited too long. Maybe I played my cards wrong. Oh, just a little bit wrong. Apologize for it. I could fall, I could fly here in your aeroplane, and I could live, I could die on to the words you say. And I've been known to give my all and jumping in harder than 10,000 rocks on the lake. So don't call me baby.
Woo!
Unless you mean.
All right. Bye, guys. Nice check. See you tomorrow at 1.